Once again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. So folks, I've been busy. Have to put you all at ease. This is a live broadcast, so all you willy-nilly little twits who've been running around like chickens with your head cut off, spreading the rumors that I'm dead or that the feds raided us and burned our house to the ground and killed everybody and beat up my wife, go soak your heads. When you hear stuff like that, check at the source. Don't spread rumors. And for sure, don't spread them if they come from Michigan. And no, I'm not talking about the militia of Michigan. I'm talking about the subject of Friday night's broadcast or Monday night's broadcast. I'm not sure which is going to be an expose of the attempted takeover of the Constitution Party. All the legal ramifications I'm going to quote from documents and prove these little scum-sucking pigs are liars. So anyway, folks, stand by. We have a very special guest tonight, and you're going to see that this is indeed a government run amok. Not only run amok, but scamming the American people. It's a con job, the biggest heist in history.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Hey, honey. Something's not right.
Throw out your arms. It's 3:10. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. If you've got a complaint, say you're the best.
Get out of this house. Surrender your guns. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want to come home. Dance the dance down and sleep on your toes.
Hillary Shalala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, the money founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land, and Clinton saying take the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of Buffalo's right, Clinton's preparing it for another huge tax hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, creates a panic and rape the nation. Crisis creation. Incite black and white program.
That's right, folks. Crisis creation. They're very good at that, aren't they, Ivy?
That they are, Bill. That they are.
Our guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is Ivy West, a very well-known talk show host in the state of Hawaii. And I understand you have your own broadcast over here now.
Yes, I do. We're on satellite, and hopefully we'll be going to shortwave soon.
Oh, great. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, Ivy, and then we'll get into the meat of tonight's subject matter.
Okay. I'm a producer and director of television. I've had my own radio show in Honolulu, Hawaii, for 3 years up till June of 1994. And I've been involved in the Patriot Movement and the Sovereignty Movement of Hawaii for quite a long period of time. I have an organization called Take America Back, TAB, and we're keeping tabs on the government. And one day, I was coming home with my daughter and some friends in the car. And I drove up a long driveway that I had, and from out of the bushes jumped 11 armed intruders.
No warning?
No warning.
No identification?
No identification. They had street clothes on. The only thing told me that they were serious is that a couple of them had machine Tech 9 type it was a Tech-9 type machine pistol.
So for all you knew, it was a bunch of gangland members getting ready to rob and rape you.
I had no idea. I mean, I thought it was a joke. I wasn't sure what the hell was going on because we did have mock court sessions. We did go to the firing range every weekend. We did have our own military type militia. And so I at first thought, well, maybe, you know, it's a surprise attack just to see what we would do.
Ivy.
I didn't recognize the people.
Ivy, that's not a joke when somebody's standing there pointing a Tech-9 or a pistol or a rifle or anything else at you.
Millimeters, no.
And I would advise anybody out there, if you're playing those kind of games, don't do it. And anyway, this turned out not to be a game, didn't it?
No, it ran through my mind that maybe it was a joke, but then I realized it was not a joke.
You don't want to pull that on me because I'll shoot you. So what happened at that point?
I stopped my car, and I rolled down the window a little bit, and I said, "Who are you, and what do you want?" And they said, "We need you to get out of the car," and I wasn't going to argue with them at that point. I got out of the car and told everybody else to stay in the car and said, "What do you want?" And they said, "We have an affidavit and a search warrant, and we want to search your home." And at that point, they made the other people get out of the car at gunpoint. They were still pointing their guns at us. And again, I asked, "Who are you?" They couldn't find the search warrant. And in the meantime, I asked to see identification, and they did not show me identification. One agent stepped forward and said that she was Beverly Hood and that she was an IRS Treasury agent. I asked to see her identification. She did not have it on her. And at that point, they finally found the search warrant, which they held it up to me at 3 feet away. It's difficult to read, but I could at least read the front part of it. And I told them that their search warrant was defective on its face, that it was not signed by a judge, and there's no affidavit that I could see attached to it, and they were improper in their addressing my dwelling, that I had a dwelling and not a residence. And dwellings and churches cannot be searched, only residences and premises. It didn't matter. These jack-booted thugs and armed invaders were going to do what they were going to do.
Nazi Gestapo jack-booted thugs.
Yep. And I asked who the other people were. And specifically, I asked the man that was dressed all in black with the machine 9 tech-type pistol who he was. I said, "You're MJTF, aren't you?" I knew it. He was in all black. All military, no insignias, no nothing. Even the gun was black. And he didn't deny it. But he was definitely in charge. He had the most serious gun that I could see. Two of them had little tiny silver badges. They said that they were Treasury agents. The rest went over and got their vests finally, and it said BATF on them. And I said, "Well, excuse me, but... according to Cruikshank versus the U.S., you're in no capacity to be in a state concerning arms," and that's in the Congressional Record at 921, subsection 18. And I said, "You're in my home." By then, I could see that they were in the home. They were upstairs searching my home. I was prepared to move because the house had been sold, and I had 100 boxes packed up. I could see that my front door was smashed down, and it took a battering ram to do it because it was a solid core door. And they were in the home. And I said, "Look, what do you want?" "Well, you know, we're in there searching for arms." And I said, "I don't own any arms. I don't own any guns." And the search warrant said the fruits of the crime was a fax machine and a filing cabinet and a telephone.
Now, let's pause right here. What reason do you think they would have done this?
Well, they told me. They said that I thought I was really smart being on the radio, talking about the IRS being foreign agents and talking about myself not filing. I have not filed a federal income tax form or state income tax form or any form for that matter in over 25 years. They did not arrest me and they did not charge me, by the way, Bill.
Well, I thought you were pretty smart on the radio and pretty smart for not doing those things, too. No, of course not. This, from what I understand about this, it was an attempt to intimidate you and scare you and stop you from broadcasting anymore.
Well, exactly. And plus, they were on a fishing expedition, too, to see exactly what I had. And they took 9 pages of inventory out of my house. Now, for most people, they don't really understand what that is, but they took half my household with them.
Mm-hmm.
They took 40 boxes. And this includes all kinds of crazy stuff. The worst of it is they told me that I was in a conspiracy against the United States government. I said,
What do they care? Their headquarters is in Puerto Rico.
Well, government. I said, which government are you talking about? The American national government or the federal U.S. government? They had a smirk on their face and said, don't get funny with them. I said, I'm not. I'm asking you a question. You're holding me at gunpoint. You're illegally searching my home. I want you to take your guns off my daughter and off my friends. And I will go with you and speak with you. And then they took me into the house upstairs, and that's when they started talking about me being in a conspiracy. I said, you're telling me that I'm in a conspiracy against the government with 800,000 people? That's the potential in Honolulu, in Hawaii, in all of the islands, to hear my radio show every weekend. And I was on 4 hours Saturday and 6 hours Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how can I be in a conspiracy?
Did they name other people?
Yes, they did.
Who did they name?
They named John Nelson, and they named, I don't want to give the other people's names, but I had taken a John Nelson law course.
Well, you're in good company with John Nelson.
Nelson's the best.
I'll stand with him any day.
It's because of these papers about being foreign agents in Title 18 and the law course that I took that I beat the IRS. And there is a light at the end of the tunnel, folks, and it's not a freight train. I want you to know that the IRS dropped their case on me.
Well, the IRS is the direct... Well, let me put it another way. The Internal Revenue Service is the director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. The only Internal Revenue Service that we can find other than that person, and that person is named as being the Internal Revenue Service, is the Assistant Commissioner for International Operations Internal Revenue Service, which, by the way, the law says all returns must be filed with the Commissioner for International Operations.
That's correct. And don't forget Lloyd Benston, who, according to the weekly presidential compilation papers of January 1st, 1993, says that he was nominated to be the governor of the International Monetary Fund, the U.S. governor of the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, the U.S. governor of the Inter-American Development Bank, the U.S. governor of the African Development Bank, the U.S. governor of the Asian Development Bank and the African Development Bank, and the European for Reconstruction and Development Bank, and was nominated by Trader Bill Clinton.
Well, this is a normal thing. All Secretary of the Treasurers, or all Secretaries of the Treasury, are fill those positions. It's just it's an automatic thing under the Treaty of Bretton Woods. He's nominated, of course, but it's automatic.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also paid by the International Monetary Fund, which is against the law.
That is correct. That is correct. They thought that they were very smart, these agents, in tearing up my home. I mean, I even saw waffle marks from their boot marks on my walls 15 feet up because they had rappelled down the walls. How they got up there, I have no idea. Had repelled themselves down the walls looking for so-called arms. Now, they do a profile on people before they ever do a raid. They know I am not dangerous. I don't do drugs. I'm not violent. And they knew I had no weapons. Yet that is what they used to get into my dwelling and try and, take some information.
Oh, they're real macho, you know. They go after one lonely woman talk show host with a big squad of Nazi Gestapo, jackbooted thugs, machine guns, machine pistols, rappelling gear, battering rams. Ooh, boy.
The worst of it is, Bill, they had smashed down every door in my house. Now, they're not locked. They're not locked at all.
Yeah.
You know, and I wish my bird could have gotten out because it would have bit the hell out of him.
It's all part of the big macho thing, you see. They must be macho. They must intimidate and scare. It makes them feel like they have more sexual prowess when they get home.
Well, it must be something. I'm not sure what it is. All I know...
I'm joking, Ivy. I'm joking.
Yeah, I know. They were not in a capacity to be in a state concerning arms. And all the time that they're there searching through my things, I'm telling them this. They say, so you think we're foreign agents? I said, you have the presidential weekly compilation papers and the John Nelson course in your hand. Why don't you read it? You know, I said, you're telling me you're going to put me in jail for 10 years for conspiracy? I said, go ahead and try it. I said, because tomorrow I'm going to be down at the United States Attorney's Office, and I'm going to file a complaint against you. And I'm going to make it stick. And I said, and I'll bet you right now, with my affidavit, I will have your job. Because what they don't know and what they weren't told is that they are agents of a foreign principal.
Yes. I've revealed that on this program many, many, many months ago, and I've spent the last, a little over a week going over information and law and United States Code and federal regulations and the United States Attorney's Handbook and everything else to verify all of this stuff. So I know that you're right on the money.
Mm-hmm. Well, only the principal has immunities and privileges set forth for the international organization, but not the agents. And guess what else they didn't do? They did not file their foreign agent registration. Under the Foreign Agent Registration Act, they didn't go down and register.
Well, they've done much more than that. According to the law that I have right in front of me, they have no jurisdiction outside of Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, possibly Guam, and that's it.
Well, absolutely. And I told the United States District Court and the United States Attorney General that they don't have any jurisdiction. They are outside their venue.
Absolutely.
And I had been arguing with them, and I had been corresponding with them that to return some of my things that weren't a part of what they took. They took a lot of the UFO and underground stuff that I had, and I have interviewed people from around the world. I had a lot of information. They said, we've never seen so much information. I said, really? All my friends have this kind of information. I said, maybe you ought to take some of it and read it and educate yourself. I said, because I have the right to redress my government. I said, so, you know, I don't know why you're here. You're here illegally. You're here unlawfully. And I asked them if I could make a phone call. They said, sure. It's your house. So I called 911. And I told 911 that I had foreign agents in my home and that they had guns and that they had no lawful right to be there, and that I wanted a police report filed, and they sent the police over, too. And the IRS about freaked out, because I told them there's agents of a foreign principal on the, in my dwelling, and they're trespassing, and that they work for the World Bank, and they're stealing property, and I want a record of the report. And I told them that they work for the governor of the World Bank and the IMF and Interpol, and that they have an oath that they signed with Interpol, which takes no directives from any nation or state under its constitution, and they're in there pillaging and robbing and looting. And they sent out the police. And the IRS was really mad at me for doing that, and the BATF agents. They slammed the phone down on me. I'd gotten that far into calling 911 and asked for police assistance.
And what people don't understand is BATF and IRS are one and the same entity.
That's correct.
They're not separate organizations. In fact, the Internal Revenue Service has no authority whatsoever to investigate or authority to demand compliance or audit or anything else. All of those things are assigned to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. When you're actually audited for income tax, it's the BATF that is doing it, not the IRS.
Boy, you got some good information there.
We have it all. And the next issue of Veritas is going to turn Washington on its ear, and I doubt if anybody in this entire country will ever file another Form 1040 or income tax return in the whole history of the world.
Well, there's really no reason to, unless you really are a U.S. citizen, deriving your income from within that 10-square-mile enclave.
Not even that. You have to be Virgin Islands or Puerto Rico. It's very clear in the law.
That's right. And the 26...
And when you file a Form 1040, you are filing according to the code, according to what I've been studying and what Wayne Benson has taught me, and according to the law that I can read and see with my own eyes. You are, in fact, filing a Virgin Islands return for the importation of narcotics, alcohol, tobacco, or firearms from either Puerto Rico or the Virgin Islands.
That's right. That is right.
And it is a tax. I mean, if you really do those things, you do have to pay the tax to a taxpayer. You don't have to do the return. You pay the tax to the taxpayer. The taxpayer is actually a revenue collection agent who then files a return of the money that he has collected in the taxes to the Virgin Islands.
That is correct. That is correct.
Well, so anyway, what happened? What did you do the next day?
Well, I went down, and like I said, I filed with the United States Attorney General for the United States District Court for Hawaii a complaint. And I made a complaint based on the paperwork and the course that I took from John Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And I also put forth an affidavit. It's a 25-page affidavit. And if anybody wants it, they can call me and get it. And I showed that Clinton nominated Lloyd Bentsen to be the U.S. Governor of the International Monetary Fund for a term of 5 years. This nomination was approved, and that I knew that the International Monetary Fund was an international intergovernmental organization in accordance to Title 22, USCA.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And that I told them that I had read and possessed documents and copies directly from the law books and other public documents, and I had proof that the International Monetary Fund has international jurisdiction. And I filed some more papers and stated that the International Monetary Fund Articles of Agreement maintains a multinational use of currency and a multi-international jurisdiction stability. And that's why they had that MJTF agent. Now, that was the very first one I had ever personally seen. We've seen lots of black helicopters in Hawaii. We have seen a lot of troops.
Now, wait a minute. Bobo Gritz in his newsletter says there is no such thing as MJTF. Black helicopters are not a threat to anybody. We're all a bunch of Looney Tunes.
Well, I stood and talked to Bo Gritz this weekend at the Preparedness Expo, and I told them that I was personally raided by them, and I am an eyewitness to that. Now, I don't know why he's saying that, because they do exist, and I have personally seen the black helicopters, and I know how to tell the difference.
Well, tomorrow night I'm going to read it right out of his newsletter, so everybody will get to hear what he says.
Well, you know, but I'm sorry to say that he's mistaking, and maybe he hasn't seen them, or he's...
No, my dear, he's a Trojan horse. He's doing exactly what somebody's paying him to do.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, Bo Gritz, I heard him say there that he would pay $10,000 in gold for anybody that could prove. I think they said that you had a tape stating that he was a 32nd degree Scottish Rite Mason.
No, he won't let anybody get the tape.
Well, he says if
I was at Freedom Call 90 in Las Vegas in 1990.
On the tape?
In July.
Uh-huh.
When he got up and gave his talk, he introduced himself as he always does and gave his credentials and all his organizations and memberships and everything. And he said, and I was there, and I heard him say it with my own ears, that he was a 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. Recently in Los Angeles, and a whole audience of people heard it there, he said that he had been an FBI informant since the age of 18.
Oh.
And both of these things, both of these events, tapes were made. But you can't get those tapes of his talks.
Nobody has a...
You can get everybody else's tapes, but you can't get his tapes.
Does anybody have a copy of that?
Well, I don't know. There's tapes out there floating around, because all during 1989 and 1990, before he caught on that we weren't stupid, he was saying it on radio and everywhere else. He was very proud of the fact that he was a 32nd degree Freemason. He said it on the Billy Goodman Happening one night. And so we know the tapes exist, and it's just a matter of time before somebody listening to an old tape hears him say it and sends it to me, and when he does, I'm going to play it on the radio.
Wow. Well, I don't know if you know this.
But don't get all upset with this $10,000 in gold coin. The man is a liar, and I've proven it over and over again. If I do play the tape on the radio and prove that he is, in his own words, which is out there somewhere, and we will find it eventually, he's not going to pay anybody $10,000 in gold coins.
Either. Well, you'll find out if you do submit the tape. He doesn't tell people. Now, you know what happened in Ruby Ridge, right?
Yeah, he tells people that he went up there to save Randy Reaver, and he went up there to present, serve a warrant on the federal officers. That's a lie also. He was called by the Federal Bureau of Investigation in Phoenix, and he went up there, was working for the FBI, and he was wearing a wire the whole time.
Well, the warrant, the citizen's warrant for citizen's arrest, I wrote, and my group in Honolulu sent Eric Leiter up there, and you know, I'm not going to say anything about Eric Leiter. He was just somebody we sent up there. I'll leave it at that. And we gave the documents to Bo Greitz. He said he didn't think they would work, and I told him to serve them that
he would work. Ivy, he was working for the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
So
he did that just to scam the people, just like he's always done.
So he used us as just a show then.
That's right.
To make it look like it worked.
That's right.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, it's interesting, Bill, because at the Preparedness Expo, I went up to him. I said, do you remember me? Do you know who I am? He looked at me for a minute. Now, how could he forget me? I mean, we helped him run for a campaign, you know, his presidential campaign in Honolulu. Hey, what did we know at that time, right? And I said, I'm the one that wrote the citizen's warrant for citizen's arrest for you. Oh, yeah, he remembered now. But you know what? It was like he just turned away and that was it.
Sure, because he did.
And I really felt bad. I thought, you know what? I put a lot of time and effort. I spent a lot of time on my radio show when we had direct coverage from up there. A lot of our people risked our lives to go up there to help. And this was, and he never gave us any acknowledgement. And I thought, something's not right here.
Nothing's ever been right with him.
Well, exactly.
Start collecting his tapes and his old videotapes of the speeches and talks that he's given and compare them. And you'll see that this man has really scammed a lot of people for a lot of years.
That's unfortunate.
It's called Project Trojan Horse. He's in the same class as Colonel Brown of Soldier of Fortune magazine, and I told everybody 3 years ago that that man was part of Trojan Horse with Greitz, and the spotlight, bless their hearts, finally did a good deed and published and revealed, so I'm not standing here all alone saying they revealed that Robert Brown certainly was a Trojan horse and was spying on patriot organizations involved in the MIA movement. And if you read the latest editions of Soldier of Fortune magazine, you'll see that they've come out against patriot organizations and militias.
Yes, they have, and that's really unfortunate.
So when you see these Delta Force officers running around claiming to be patriots, you fall into it at your own risk. I'm telling you right now. An officer is always an officer. If he goes against the federal government, all they do is reactivate him, court-martial him, and put him away. These guys are doing their job.
Well,
so let's continue. What happened now?
Okay, well, in the affidavit, I said that I had read 22 U.S.C. 611, and it says the term agent of a foreign principal means any person who acts as an agent, employee or servant, or any person who acts in any other capacity at the order, request, or under the direction or control of a foreign principal, that they are a foreign agent, and they have to, and they engage within the United States in political activities or in the interests of such foreign principals. They act within the United States as a public relations counsel, publicity agent. You know the IRS is a publicity agent?
Mm-hmm.
Information, employee, or political consultant for or in the interest of such foreign principals. Solicits, collects, disperses, or dispenses contributions. Again, we're talking about the Treasury and the IRS, the ATF, loans money, or other things of value for or in the interest of such foreign principals. And so I show that the Internal Revenue operates under the jurisdiction, control, and authority of a foreign principal, and I named that foreign principal, and it's in the Internal Revenue Code, too, in Section 7801.
Well, you could. It's easier than that. You go to the delegation orders. It's order number 91, Rev 1, on May the 12th, 1986. It's a service agreement between the Internal Revenue Service and the Agency for International Development, or AID. That's where the funds came from the American taxpayers through the Internal Revenue Service to the AID, to build the Kama River Truck Factory when William Casey was the head of the Agency for International Development.
Right. And also the Articles of Agreement of the International Monetary Fund, and like I said, the Bretton Woods Agreement Act, that's in 22 U.S.C. So you can go through this stuff, folks, and look at it for yourself. Even the Executive Order 9751 of July 11th, 1946, designated the International Monetary Fund as a public international organization entitled to enjoy the privileges and immunities based on the legal fact that the international organizations set forth in that act.
It's turned over. Let me say that again. It's the Bank for Reconstruction and Development under the International Monetary Fund that runs all of this stuff, supervising the bankruptcy in 1933 of the United States of America. And all this was done under the March 9th order of Roosevelt, when he actually cornered the market on everything under the War Powers Act. So that's how all this came about. It's a redistribution of wealth. It's a pay off the debt. It's
Also in 1933, under the Trading with the Enemy Act, they went in and redefined who the enemy was. Are you ready for this, Bill?
It's the people.
It's the American public.
Yes.
They redefined the Trading with the Enemy Act as the enemy was the American public.
Yeah. We got to take a break here. Don't go away.
Take a break.
Hey. M-E-R-I-K-A. Comrade Clinton is marching us towards the millennium. His agenda, a new world order. He intends to foreclose upon the people and the property of the United States of America.
Actually, Anthony's right on, but it's really not Clinton. It's the people who pull his little puppet strings, because that's really what Clinton is. He's a puppet. Folks, if you understand the meaning of what we're talking about tonight, you understand that we're in terrible, terrible situation. And there's going to be consequences to this. And when it all comes out in the wash, when everybody really begins to open their eyes and take action, and I hope with all my heart that it's peaceful action that everybody takes, this economy is going to come crashing down, because it's built upon nothing. And if you don't have some real money, you're going to suffer. I was listening as I was traveling back home today from Wayne Benson's office, and I heard Barry Young on KFYI in Phoenix telling everybody that you can't deal in gold coins and you can't do all this stuff. It's just a way to cheat and not pay your taxes. We all know you got to pay your taxes, and we all know that if you do this, you're just cheating on your taxes. Well, Barry Young just showed his butt real well to the whole world. It's just like he was stripped naked right there in the middle of the intersection in Times Square. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's the biggest sheeple that's probably ever been on radio. And I felt so sorry for him, because there's so many good people out there who knew that this guy was talking strictly from a point of absolute ignorance. He's never cracked a book, never looked at the law. And he's going to get hurt real bad. And everybody that listens to him is going to get hurt real bad. What you're hearing tonight, what you heard when Wayne Benson was on, and when Tina and Mark Terry were on, what those of you who heard when you attended the seminar down in Phoenix, is the truth. And let me tell you something. It's all going to come out. Things are going to change. Hopefully for the better. It won't be us that does anything bad.
It will be those people who don't want to lose their power and their wealth and their hold, their stranglehold on the American people, that will do something dastardly if anything is done. But whatever the case, we have to be prepared. And the only way to be prepared is have what we need to survive during hard times. You need food. You need something to protect yourself and your family and your community with. You need real money. You need shelter. You need lots of fresh water. All you have to do is turn off the water to make most people come down to their knees. One of the things I can help you get, folks, that is food storage, which we'll talk about on another night, and real money. Call our sponsor, Swiss America Trading, at 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-BUY-COIN. 1-800-289-2646, folks, and do it now. You know we all tend to procrastinate.
A-M-E-R-I-K-A. Comrade Clinton is marching us towards the millennium. His agenda, a new world order. He intends to foreclose upon the people and the property of the United States of America.
Now, if you've all been paying attention, folks, you know that everything I predicted is coming true. It was in the newspaper. Now it's official. Visa is going to offer a card that will replace money. We're going into a cashless society. Now, I want to warn all of you listening to Ivy and I, and those of you who have listened to Wayne Benson and others talk about these things and talk about the law. Don't take what you hear on this broadcast and run out and try to use it, or try to get out of paying income tax, or to not file returns. You cannot use this information unless you have studied it thoroughly, understand it, and understand the consequences of making a mistake. One word used at the wrong time can put you in jail. So take my warning. I only know one man right now who can do this and do it properly and keep you out of trouble, and that's Wayne Benson. And I've already given his phone number out on other nights. We'll try to do it some other time. It's going to be in Veritas this upcoming issue. And I would advise you, if you're contemplating anything like this, don't try to do it yourself. Believe me, you don't want to do the wrong thing and go down the tubes. Okay, Ivy, let's get back to your situation. You have, in fact, sued these people, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I've had a lot of people call and ask for Wayne Benson's number. I don't know if you want to give it.
Well, it's
okay.
I'll give it another time. You're the guest tonight.
Okay, no problem. Yes, I went in, and under the affidavit that I had filed against them, under the International Organizations Immunity Act, and that's Public Law 291, and that's the 79th Congress, and you can find that in the statutes at large. In 1945, it clearly shows that the U.S. governorship of Lloyd Bentsen held in the International Monetary Fund his position as Secretary of the Department of Treasury, a.k.a. the United States Treasury, and his oversight and delegation of authority to the Commissioner of the Internal Revenue Code unequivocally demonstrates that any and all agents employed by the Internal Revenue are clearly foreign agents and are required by law to register their status pursuant to 18 U.S.C. 219.
Now, let me explain what you're talking about here. The Bureau of Internal Revenue has an office only in Puerto Rico, nowhere else.
Right.
The Director of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is, in fact, the Internal Revenue Service. They answer to the Commissioner for the Internal Revenue Service for International Operations. You cannot file a return with anyone except the Commissioner for International Operations of the Internal Revenue Service. And these are all BATF people.
That's right. And you know what? They violated 18 U.S.C. They went in and impersonated themselves and falsely represented themselves to be officers and agents and employees of the United States. And it's punishable by law. And these are foreign agents of the Internal Revenue Service, and that they had no jurisdiction or legal authority either to detain, falsely imprison, search, or even seize my person or the property that I had at my dwelling. And I told them that that my weekly radio show was being monitored by these agents, and I had been the target of a terroristic assault to silence me through fear. And I have learned that the Internal Revenue has disseminated false information to the public. Now, this is really important, concerning its status and authority over sovereign citizens of the United States of America, as formed under the United States Constitution. And I was educating my listeners to the truth, just like you are, Bill. And I've got to tell you, there's one thing you left out in your little commercial there. It's great to have water and it's great to have money, but you better have some ammunition to back up.
That's what I meant, to protect yourself and your community.
That's right. You better add some ammo to the list, too. But, again, I had no arms there, and there wasn't a reason why I shouldn't have had arms if I had felt like having arms. I didn't, because I had lots of kids in my home, and my daughter's friends, you know, had the run of the house, and I did not want any of them finding any arms and playing with them. I just felt better not having them. And most of the people I know had lots of arms, and if I ever needed any help, I could call upon them. I didn't feel that I needed to be armed, and, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I would have done had I have been armed. Maybe it was better that I wouldn't have been, because I have enough cojones to go and get something and put it in their face. Mm-hmm. I was not afraid of them. There's no reason to be afraid of them.
Well, actually, there is lots of reason to be afraid of them, but We don't want to use bullets unless we are forced to. We want to take a defensive stance unless we're absolutely forced to use weapons. We don't want to use them.
No, we really, really don't want to use
them. I've said this a million times. Whoever fires the first shot loses. As long as they are the jerks who are oppressing people and hurting people and killing people and bashing down doors, it will be them who ultimately lose the battle.
That is correct. No, I just chose to verbally talk to them, and I chose to put it on paper and go after them on paper. Five of the agents have quit the IRS, by the way, because of this affidavit, and because they did not know that they were agents of a foreign principal and weren't told that they could be held personally accountable in their official capacity and also in their private capacity.
That's another reason why we don't want anybody to shoot these people, is because they are not told the truth.
No.
They are hired like anybody else is hired that works for any position anywhere. They're brought in. They're not shown the real status of whoever or whatever they work for. They're just told, this is your job. You go out and do this, this, and this. If you have any problems, call me, and I'll tell you what to do. And they have operations manuals that they can use, but in those operations manuals, it doesn't tell them the truth. It doesn't tell them, for instance, that the definition of states in the law that they're working under, which tells them that they have jurisdiction in the states, actually refers to and is defined within the law very clearly as the District of Columbia, U.S. Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, the United States Northern Marianas Trust Territory, and other property and possessions of the United States, or the U.S., as it's sometimes referred to. It does not include the 50 individual states, the several states which makes up the Union.
That is correct. Boy, he's got it right, folks. The bill is educating people, and these kind of shows are important. They're important because talk radio is one of the last bastions of free enterprise that we have out there. Now, the IRS, after I filed this affidavit, I didn't hear anything, and I, of course, sued the judge and started suing the agents. I didn't hear anything from them for almost a year. In May of this year, I got a phone call from them, and I recognized the number on my pager, and I called them and said, what do you want? And they said, well, we need you to come in. I thought, great, now they're going to arrest me, and I'm going to have to really be embroiled in a battle. And I said, well, I can't come in. I'm on the mainland. I'm not in Hawaii. What do you want? Well, we need you to come in and get your things. Now, I was arguing with them. Pardon me?
I'm just laughing. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. We need you to come in and get your stuff. And I said, now, is that all of my stuff or some of my stuff? Because I had been fighting with them over the fax machine and the filing cabinet and the telephone so I could at least make phone calls. And so I thought they were giving me back part of the things I've asked for and proven that, you know, who they belong to. They said, no, we need you to come in and get all of your stuff. I said, all of my stuff? Why? Well, we're dropping the case on you. I said, you're dropping the case on me after holding us at gunpoint for 5 hours, threatening me and telling me you're going to put me in prison and all my friends for conspiracy, and I lost my job at the radio show. I said, you're going to just drop the case? Why are you dropping the case? Well, we don't want it to go to court. I said, I bet you don't, but why don't you want it to go to court? Now, here's the kicker. You'll love this. We do not want the American public to find out that we're foreign agents. I said, I bet. I said, I want in writing from you a letter that you're dropping the investigation. Now, I got one, and I sent it to you, Bill. Now, they did not put in it that they are because they're foreign agents. However, they told my daughter, they told me that they don't want me coming in to get the stuff. They wanted to deliver it. Now, I wasn't there. I was on the mainland. So I had to send them a limited power of attorney that my daughter could receive the goods. And the next day, I faxed it to them. The next day, they delivered everything to her. Said, don't call us. We'll call you. And tried to go away quietly. Now, I filed a tort claim against them for damages because once they've dropped the case, I now have legal recourse to go after them under, you know, damages. And that's what we have done, and we're in the middle of fighting with them over it. And I believe that I'm going to get a judgment against them. It's part of the law. It's part of the courses I took. And it's what happens when you know what to do.
Yes.
And you're absolutely right. You should not run out and try this stuff. The reason John Nelson does not sell his tapes or his courses because he does not want people to go out there and erroneously make a mistake and mess up what would set a case precedent or what might get you in trouble because you did not have all of the information or understand correctly the implications of what you're doing.
That's right. People have wrongfully used a lot of the information that they think they know and don't really. And what happens is nobody else can use it after that because they've screwed it up with some stupid court ruling.
Mm-hmm. Now, if people want my affidavit, I don't know if it's okay to get my number out or not.
That's up to you.
Oh, yeah, sure. I do work for Perceptions Magazine. Most of your listeners have heard about Perceptions. You've helped to promote us on the air. I am the marketing director for Perceptions, and like Veritas, it's a great publication. And so if you want to call now, and even if people want to have a trial issue of Perceptions, we're willing to give them a trial issue. We've got a lot of this stuff in the magazine, and they can call and ask for me personally, if you would, if you want the affidavit. It's 1-800-276-4448. And you can call now. Now, there's not a whole lot of people here. There's some people here. There'll be more people there tomorrow. Tomorrow's a better day to call for the magazine, but you can always call at 1-800-276-4448. Now, I've had other people take my affidavit, put their name in it, change it to their situation. I include the law.
Don't do that, folks.
Pardon me?
I said don't do that.
But it's worked.
No, don't do that. Every case has its own peculiarities, and if you take a form and just put, you know, take out whatever's in there and put your stuff in, it can backfire on you big time.
Now, Bill, I don't let people do that. I talk to them personally about their case to see the situation, and I don't...
Yeah, but that's not what you were saying. You got to make sure that they understand what you're talking about.
Okay, I don't advocate just taking this and blankly using it to fix your problems. That is not what I want you to do. okay? I do not want that to happen. You must understand the law you're reading. You must understand the action you're taking, because ultimately you stand before the court when you file these papers, and if you don't know what you're doing, they have got you.
That's right.
So you must know what you're doing. And I think your listeners are getting pretty smart here with some of the great information you're giving them.
Well, they're not smart enough, and neither am I. We're all learning. I've stumbled through, and I'm making it okay, but I don't claim to be an expert, and that's why I don't open classes and don't teach, and I don't teach on the air. I just give out information.
Right. I don't teach either and go on the air and do that either, because I don't want people getting in trouble. Now, if you can't reach me, please leave your name and your phone number at least so we can call you back, because we do have an answering machine, and I can hear the phones going crazy out there. So at least leave your name and your phone number, and we will call you back. And probably the machine will shut off after a certain amount of calls, and you're going to have to call tomorrow. But, you know, it was a great experience. It was. Because, first of all, my daughter was there, and she's been through me. Now, you know, I don't want to go into other things that have happened to me, but I've been raided by other agencies. And she has been there when we've been raided. And this was a first-hand exercise for her to witness what you can do and not be afraid. And I wasn't belligerent, and I was nice. There's no reason to get them mad at you, because they have the upper hand. Let's face it, folks. And I thought it was a great opportunity to educate those people that were standing there. They didn't know. And the icing on the cake was when I got a call from the IRS to come and get my stuff, and they actually delivered to her everything and a letter saying they dropped the case. For me, the years of fighting, the years of research, the years of legal courses I've taken paid off. And my daughter's been to court with me before on traffic. I've won every single case. I've gone through all of those steps. But this was the best one, because the IRS is a scary thing. You know, it's a heavy-duty thing. It's one of the harder branches of government that come after people and intimidate and terrorize and scare. And it was just a wonderful feeling for her to know, and a vindication for me, that I'm on the right track and that there is a divine legislator of the universe that does protect us and that does stand by us when we do right.
Yeah, let me blow all your minds. Yours too, Ivy.
Okay.
In the handbook for the United States Attorney, or for the United States Attorneys, it's written by the Supreme Court. So you don't have to challenge it, and nobody can challenge it, because the Supreme Court wrote it. There's a Rule 54. Under Rule 54, there's a Rule 54C. And you can find this in Title 28 United States Code. It's Rule 54C. Application of terms as used in these rules. The following terms have the designated meanings. And it means exactly what it says. Act of Congress includes any act of Congress locally applicable to and in force in the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico in a territory or in an insular possession. So acts of Congress do not apply to
wow.
the several states either.
That's excellent. That's excellent. I want people to know that I'm going after these agents for both being fined and imprisoned. Because it says under Title 18, 951, whoever, other than a diplomatic or consular officer or attaché, acts in the United States as an agent of a foreign government without prior notification to the Secretary of State, shall be fined not more than $5,000 or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. Now, that's just one of the violations of law that I charged them with. I charged them with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 under 18 U.S.C. So I want them fined. I want them imprisoned. I want them to get their little Nazi communist operation out of our country.
Well, I think also if we educate these goons, they'll stop being goons and we'll be on our side, because I don't think they want to be doing what they're doing. I think that they believe that they're doing the right thing and they've been lied to like the rest of us.
Well, they're being paid a well, I don't know what the word would be for it. They're being paid a percentage for their raids and what they bring in.
Yes, I have that all here in front of me. They get
a percentage.
They get, well, not necessarily a percentage. It's an award based upon merit, which can be up to $25,000 every minute.
Yes. That's an award. That's a perfect.
Even the President of the United States can get these awards. And this, they can pay them to judges also. Did you know that if you're going before a judge in an income tax case, they can pay the judge $25,000? And you'll never even know about it. In other words, this is legal bribery. It's not against the law. It's in the law.
Yeah.
And if the judge wants to collect that money, he's got to put you in jail. Simple as that. Here's another one for you all to sleep on tonight. This is Treasury Order number 163. This is the only order concerning Social Security. Its authority to perform functions with respect to the Northern Mariana Islands Social Security tax. When you pay Social Security, you're paying Social Security tax of the Mariana Islands. There are no trust funds for Social Security. Period. Zero. Zip. None.
It's a general fund that's been broke three times.
That's right. and it's all illegal anyway. It's a tontine. And the only way they can do it legally is if they do it under the Mariana Islands Trust Territory as a law, making a Social Security tax. And they apply it to the American people, because if you're a citizen of the Mariana Islands, Puerto Rico, or the U.S. Virgin Islands, you are a U.S. citizen. So they say all U.S. citizens have to do this, so all sheeple who think they're U.S. citizens do it.
That's right.
We are, in fact, citizens with a capital C of the United States of America. We are not U.S. citizens, never have been. Ivy, I want to thank you so much for being a guest tonight. Why don't you give out your number so people can call you if they want to, and then we've got to get out of here.
All right, the number to call is, it's at Perceptions Magazine. It's toll-free, 1-800-276-4448. Leave your name and your phone number. I promise I will call you back. Even if 200 of you call, I will call you back. You're going to have to give me some time throughout the week to call you back, but we will. And if you want to get a trial offer of Perceptions Magazine, give us a call. We'll help you out with that as well. And, Bill, you've got great information.
Well, thank you.
And I appreciate you letting me tell my story on your radio show. It makes me feel better. I do have a radio show back again. And you can find us on satellite if you want to listen to that. It's unfortunately at the same time as yours, so I won't say anything about it. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Thank you much.
Thank you very much.
And good night.
Aloha.
Well, folks, that wraps it up for tonight. If you want to learn about all this stuff as much as we can possibly give you, I think the next several issues of Veritas are going to be full of it. Absolutely full of it, and like always, we'll turn Washington on its ear. But remember, don't even try to use any of this stuff unless you have studied it to the point where you're an expert. And believe me, you don't have to study it very long to know more than anybody in the IRS or the BATF or the Treasury Department. Good night, folks, and God bless you all.
Glad you could make it. Welcome to the new world order. Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want a new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
The Illuminati wants you to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the...